You know, it's awkward. I'm wearing a t-shirt today, and I didn't put on some cheesy Barbie transition to preach to, right, with the music.
Amen.
Because I was planning on a nice, subtle, quiet talk about this word with melody and beauty. But then Rusty's like, just sit down. Let's go. Right? So I might as well just throw it up like some crazy song. I love you too. Yeah. Hey, Derek's running the sound back there. Thanks, man, for running the sound today. Appreciate you jumping in. Keep with that awesome manly bass you got going. I like that. That's good. That's good. You can grab a seat, Robin, if you want to. I appreciate you transitioning for me. You want to keep playing? Let's let Robin keep playing. Sounds good, right? We're good? Hey, so I have some stuff I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm really excited about this morning. I'm really sore, though, because I did this ridiculous dancing with Josh, your kid. Holy cow. I learned in a dance circle, according to Eli, that the person in the middle has to dance like crazy. So I did that, and then I got up this morning and took my first two steps, and I was like, oh, I haven't hurt this bad all summer. So, yeah, thanks, man. Oh, you won. Oh, Eli won. This word salvation, we just sang about it, and I don't know if you're somebody who grew up in the church, you probably heard this word like 1,000 times, and if you didn't grow up in the church, you might be like, oh, I think that's like the Salvation Army. They're going to like ring a bell here in a second. I'm not sure what's going to happen, right? Like, this is kind of an old word, and it's a very churchy word, but oh my goodness, is it an important word. What it means is this: deliverance from harm, from ruin, from loss. Hey man, we live in a world that is desperate for salvation. Salvation from financial pressure, financial struggle, salvation from physical ailment and suffering, salvation from relational tension and strife, and more than anything, and most sit in blindness not realizing it, but the need for salvation from eternal death that can only be found through Jesus. This word in the Latin, where it's rooted in from the very beginning, means to save. So many people are chasing so many things. Save from what? Well, we know, as we look into the scriptures, the truth of our sin condition, that for all of us, we need saved from eternal death and sin and the consequences of that. This word sin is a word that we don't like to talk about a lot because it feels like judgment and condemnation. And, well, it is, but it's not from each other. It's from the one eternal righteous king who reigns supreme over all. And he determines right and wrong and what is just. And he calls us out of sin. Scripture paints a really interesting picture for us of our sin condition. It says in Romans that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love the word fall instead of fallen. Used to be, all have fallen short of the glory of God, you know, as I memorized it as a kid. And that's a good word, but that sort of leaves fallen in the past tense. And in a way, it makes sense because for all of us, we were born into sin. Every one of us in the human race came into this humankind experience. We were born from another human and another human before that, and another human before that. And we can chase that all the way back to Adam and Eve, scripture tells us. The first man and woman who rebelled and sinned against God and brought the consequence of sin into humanity so that everyone who was born into the slavery of sin was forever cursed by sin and doomed to the destruction of sin. That's what scripture teaches us. We see it in a slave culture. When a young child is born into slavery, they're not free, right? They're enslaved to the slave owner. And slavery is a horrible, wretched, terrible thing. If you haven't seen the Sound of Freedom movie, you should go check it out 100% for sure. Support it, spread it around, let people know, see the message. And I love that people are being inspired to try to help alleviate human trafficking. And I really wish the Church of Jesus Christ could catch a vision and a heart for eternal human trafficking that's going on in our world because of the enemy and what sin does and corrupts. But we're doomed. We're destined for destruction. Scripture says to us that the wages of sin in Romans 6, through the wages of sin is death. What we earn because of being part of the human race is death. And just in case you're like, I don't like that, I totally appreciate it. I don't like being born into slavery. It doesn't feel fair to me. I didn't do anything. Okay. Here's the bad news. God gave us, well, 10 commandments, right? Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't lie. And anyone who's ever broken that commandment of the Lord even one time, the Bible says, is a lawbreaker. So forget about your ancestral sin problem. Just set it aside. I'm with you. You're a sinner just like me because you've broken God's law. Every single one of us have. And Scripture says the consequence of that is eternal separation from God. But the end of this sentence speaks hope and life, doesn't it? Though the wages of sin, though the consequence of sin, though the result of sin, both ancestral and personal, is eternal death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have an empty cross because Jesus came and he died, but he's not still hanging there. He rose again in victory and gives us life and hope and forgiveness for sin. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can be good enough. It's not something that we can impress him enough that he's like, all right, you're getting into heaven, man. It's just a gift that we have to accept to receive. You might recognize John 3:16. It's around a few times. We're getting ready for football season. You'll see a poster or two probably up there. God so loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die in our place, right? To offer himself as the sacrifice for everyone so that whoever believes could have life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe my good works, maybe my belief in Buddha or being a really good person in another religion is okay with God. It's a nice thought. It is. It's just contrary to what Jesus said. He said, I'm the gate. I'm the door. I am the way. And eternal life is only found through me. And the promise we have, Romans says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Confession with our mouth, proclaiming Jesus as Lord, that kind of involves action as well, doesn't it? It's not just lip service, but it is action. When Jesus is Lord, we submit to him as Lord. And we confess that with our mouth, and our actions follow suit. And we believe that what Scripture says is true, that Jesus died and rose again and offers us life. Without believing, without confession, that one single way that leads to salvation is inaccessible to us. Lord, help our unbelief, that we might confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and be what? Saved. Saved from sin through our faith in the one and the only access to eternity, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm gonna have a little fun and bring some friends up here to share a little bit. But I want you to see that picture of salvation and to know that it's for every one of us. The opportunity, the offering that we can come and confess our sin before him, that we can accept him as Lord of our life and walk in obedience to him and be guaranteed eternal life, not because of what we did, but because of what he did and what he offers to us. It's for you. It's for me. And it's the way to life. So now, awkward transition. As Robin said once, she left the date early when the appetizers showed up. So the appetizers have showed up, Robin. Thank you. You can have a seat. I'd like to invite three really good friends of mine up here this morning. Josh Hale, Evie's floating around somewhere, but maybe trying to hide perfect. And Chris Bratton back there. If you guys want to join us up here for just a moment, we'll get you all set up. Evie, you can sit right here next to me. That way, get these ladies first thing. Josh, we'll put you on the end over here, man. You can anchor this back. I thought there was another mic up here.
There was.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Chris, you just stand there and smile. That will work great. Oh, there's a stool for me, too. Perfect. So you might be thinking to yourself, wow, emotional talk about salvation followed by an appetizer sampler up there. That's pretty...
Hi, Josh.
This is just a little look into how my brain works. You know what I mean? Obviously, I can't even make a tie-in. This is ridiculous. Okay, so last week, Evie came back from her amazing adventure in New Jersey. Yeah? That's pretty awesome. And I really wanted her to get to share with the church because Evie kind of cares about this whole salvation thing a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Is that on at all? You may want to talk in here a couple times.
Oh,
perfect. Yeah, Darius, I'll crank you up. Don't worry. And I started thinking to myself about lunch and probably thought of an appetizer thing. That's probably how we got here. But we're going to do a little summer sampler sermon. And what I realized is you got to have like three entrees, right, as part of that whole thing, right? So one of you guys has got to be the chicken. I don't know which one's going to be the chicken. One of you is going to be cheesy. And then the onion ring's tough, but I figure we'll go with holy. That works? So one of you gets to be holy. One of you is a chicken, one's cheesy. I don't really know. Not really. You're all great.
I think we're the appetizer.
You guys are the crusty guys there in the back corner. That's perfect. Okay, so you ready?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Wow, I like that. That's just kind of exciting. Because I was going to let Evie share a little bit first. I'm going to put this back on here because really I think some of the common thread of why I wanted to take the three of you this morning and have a little summer sampler sermon thing is that this summer, all three of these people have had some adventures and some activities and some things going on, many of things that we probably don't even know. But I think God's been doing some cool things in the midst of all of them. And so I thought, man, let's maybe unpack that together as a church. Maybe we'll be encouraged, inspired. Maybe we'll run out the door fast. I don't really know what's going to happen, but let's give it a shot. So, Evie, since you're ready to go, tell us about what were you doing in New Jersey?
So the main focus was kind of evangelism. I mean, there was also...
What's evangelism? Because that's like a really weird churchy word.
It's basically where... our main goal was to kind of go out and, like, share the gospel. And so basically, like, sharing what God has done for us, not just what we can do for God. But so the main way we did that was we would go out on the boardwalk, and we had these, like, surveys, and we would pair up with people. And so we'd just be like, hey, can I have you taken the boardwalk survey tonight? Because we'd be all over the boardwalk at that point, which was kind of cool to see.
Keep that thing real close, yeah.
So at some point, you get to people who have, like, been asked already, but, like, you know. So
Was that nerve-wracking at all? Or?
Oh, yeah. I was so anxious.
Because this is kind of in your wheelhouse. Like, if you know Evie, she loves just walk up to total strangers and talk
really.
To them. That's kind of your jam, right? That.
Yeah. So that's kind of nice when we, like, paired up with people at first, because I definitely could not, like, do that by myself. So it was nice that we started with pairing up with people who were experienced and didn't have experience doing that, so I could, like, see other people do it first. And be like, no, you can do it. It's okay. Like, I'll just wait a second. But, so we'd ask them, like, hey, so it's just a quick, like, 5-question survey about, like, life and faith and, like, just, like, trying to get perspective and, like, so we kind of, like, ease them into it. Like, it'd be like, oh, describe the past year of your life in 3 words. And then, like, it'd just be, like, life-related questions. And you get to the 4th question, like, how would you describe God? It's like, which is kind of, like, heavy. And I kind of, like, preface that a little bit. Like, this one's a little deeper. But it was really interesting to see how many people were, like, open to responding, even people, like, who didn't, like, believe necessarily. But after like our little survey was over, we had like little packets, kind of. I wouldn't say packet, like little booklet. That's like 4 points.
The old people would call those tracks.
Yeah.
But that's not.
Yeah, so it was that. But so it was like getting to know God personally. So we'd ask people like, how interested would you be in having a personal relationship with God? And so, you know, we got all the responses. but then we could like kind of dive into like our, like there were like 4 main points in it. And so it was really, again, really nerve-wracking at first. Like once I got past the survey, then I was like, oh, I can do the survey, but now I have to do this. So, but we could dive into it with people of like all different religions and all different like faiths and background. And it was just cool to see how like open-minded, but also not open-minded some people can be, but really learning that it's not like, it's not our words and it's not through us, but it's like God through us and just like letting him have his way. So like really using that to learn to not be anxious about it too, because it's like, it's not really up to me. I'm just doing the work. But even then it's like his work through us. But it's, yeah, really just trying to spread that word to anyone who was willing to hear it. But I really think we did it in a good way too, where it was like, not just like in your face or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Raise your hand if you've heard Evie say like even 10% of that many words in your whole life of knowing Evie. Anybody? It's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, okay, a few friends are like, she won't stop talking to me. That's fair, that's fair. So I'm just fascinated by how the Holy Spirit works, and you get to do some stuff with the Holy Spirit, and then he kind of gets you a little excited, and you're like a different person kind of. I mean, not that you're a totally different person, but you seem like a little transformed by the experience.
I definitely feel a lot more confident, like just in general, like definitely with like speaking about God, but also just, yeah, in general. But one thing we also were talked about with, sorry, I worded that weird, but anyways.
English is hard.
It was like, even with your non-Christian friends, like be like talking about the same things, like if something pops in your mind, like don't hold it back, like still say, like maybe like reword it a little bit because like, you know, different audience, but like still like being you and having that part, like you don't need to have like 2 personalities or identities, like that's the one. And so I think like really practicing that and being surrounded by a community of like all believers where we can just like say anything about God and everyone else in the room's like, oh yeah, I know this. And like I think it's just, yeah, it's not the same like community here or when I go to school, but like I think being a part of that community has been really good. I don't know. I felt a lot more confident with just being not just in that environment, but like sharing that environment with everyone else.
So before you went, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important was it for you to sort of work in Jesus to conversations with your friends, like before you went? Scale of 1 to 10.
Honestly, probably like a 3 or 4. Like it was just kind of like, I was like, oh no. Like even inviting people to church was kind of like in the back of my mind, but I was like, eh, they know I go to church. That's like, you know, it was kind of like, oh, I can't hang out with people on Sundays, like Sunday mornings and things like that. Like that's reserved for church. But then it's like, oh, they can come with me, like things like that. But I would say no, like, people knew about it. Like I didn't like hide why I was going on mission or what I was doing this summer, but it was like, I wasn't really sharing anything.
So then after, what would you put your number at?
Probably like, I mean, there's always more like growth, but I will say like 9, cause I mean, 8 or 9.
Sure.
Just cause like, honestly, I feel more confident talking about it with strangers now.
But
like even some of my friends, like it's a little hard, but I'm also like, okay, like they need a whole thing that we focus on was like planting seeds, and I'm like, I can be that for my friends, even if I'm nervous about it. Like they're my friends, and they know that like I'm Christian and go to church, so like why not talk about it? Even though it's like a little scary, I've definitely been working on that.
Yeah, how cool is that? Like, real love is telling people the truth, right? Like, so funny. We always struggle as Christians sharing our faith because we don't want to offend people. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want people to not like us, all kinds of different things. But like, if I knew you were going to die if you didn't walk through that door, And I sat here and was like, I don't really want to tell them about, I don't want to push, I don't want to offend them. Maybe they'll figure it out on their own. Maybe they'll wander to the door. You know, we always have all those things. But real love is saying, hey, I don't want to offend you or whatever, but I love you. I want you to know that that door leads to life and hope, not death, you know? And sometimes those experiences kind of wake that up in us in some cool ways. And then you get to go to Ball State like next week.
Yeah.
There's no Christians over there. Or, wait, no, there are some Christians over there. We're sending like 7 of them, I think, right? So that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's what, so for people who don't know, my mission trip was with like CRU, so Campus Crusade for Christ is what it used to be called, but it's like with a bunch of different college campuses. And so Ball State has that. And so I'm excited to like be a part of that community still. Yeah. And I've met a bunch of people who are going to be going to my school. So like, that's also nice that I already have some people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to still be like, I mean, the community won't be as strong as like it was this summer. And I know that, but like, I'm still excited to like have part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you went into it, kind of new man on the totem pole kind of vibe, right? And now you're going to go in as maybe a leader in this space. And that's kind of cool. God's been raising you up to do some cool things there.
Yeah.
And we're going to pray for you that you get a chance to share the gospel with people around you.
Yeah, I think we have some like outreach things on campus as well. So, which is going to be, I'm going to be nervous about that, but I'm going to do it because another thing, is it like, oh, if I don't feel like sharing, I should probably go do it, because if I don't want to like do it, there's always the enemy who's like, oh, you don't want to do this, or all these reasons, like you're tired, you're hungry, like you don't feel well, but it's like just trusting God to kind of like take over.
Paul told Timothy not to, you know, he was supposed to set an example for the believers and not let people look down on him because he was young, but set an example in speech and faith and purity and all these other things. That's why I wanted you to get up here, because I wanted some of our old people to be shamed. No, I'm just kidding. But tell you what, it's, wow. Chris actually asked me, he said, could I follow up after Evie? Because I want to top what she has. No. Chris is thinking to himself, how did I get stuck up here? What just happened? So let's jump over to Chris for half a second, and we'll probably come back and hit you guys up with some more fun. But
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Just a half a second? That was awesome, by the way. Thank you. I had a wonderful summer. You guys probably know my son Benjamin, most of you. He has an older brother, Caleb. And Caleb moved away to the West Coast 5 years ago to pursue some career things, and ended up getting married and now going to have a child. But for these last 5 years, we've made it a point to have a summer adventure. And I remember when I first talked to Andy, and I had just gotten to know Andy a little bit, and Josiah was leaving for college, and it was rocketing. And I know that Josiah stays close, and I know how important that is and how that lifts your heart.
We're ready for him to go now. It's fine.
You whatever. What? I know better. I know better. You'll be solving next week. But we've had several summer adventures together, and we generally come up with a theme for our adventure. And like 4 or 5 years ago, we went to our southern border and got to be a part of a ministry down there to feed and work with asylum seekers on the other side of the border. And we had heard all the things in politics and all the things that we get told and left, right. We just knew that there were some people down there that were broken and hurting. And we had planned to go to Ireland all the time, but we had gone through the New Testament together that year and read Wild at Heart, and going and just having a big time in Ireland didn't seem to make as much sense anymore. And so we found this little ministry down there that we really didn't know anything about. Neither one of us speaks Spanish. I assumed my 4 years of high school French wasn't gonna be a big deal.
Probably helped.
So we just went, and we come up with a theme for each one of our trips that we go on. And that year, because we knew nothing and had no abilities that we knew of that were gonna translate, our theme for that year was love always finds a way to express itself. And we just went in God's power and that faith that love would be expressed. And it was ridiculous. It was God showed up in huge, huge ways, and we got to share Christ with people that with just a little bit of English, or just a little bit of Spanish mixed in that we'd learned on the way, and it was just a beautiful time. And we've gone on other adventures. We hiked Half Dome together in Yosemite and summited that mountain, and it was wonderful. And he got married in Tulum, Mexico, and the adventure that year is I got to be his officiant, and that was a blessing for sure. Mm. This year, it was to hike Mount Whitney, which is the tallest mountain in the lower 48 states. And so we set our plan and worked real hard on it, joined all these forums, and I was working out like crazy as he and a friend that was going to were working out like crazy. And if anybody needs to know, over at Westfield High School, there's 368 steps if you do all six rows. And I would throw 40 pounds on my back, and I was running those bleachers and doing laps, and Benjamin was laughing at me with his music and just working hard, doing everything I physically could to be ready and to conquer this mountain together. And the plan at the end of it was to be on top of this mountain with my son, and we would lift our arms and we would just glorify God, and I would get to pray for my son in that moment and just encourage him on his life as he had just gotten married, and they're talking about a family and to buy a home and his new job and just all the stress going on that I know he's working through in his life. I, this is going to be a great time to really encourage him. And so we get there, and I actually went out 2 days early to acclimate, and I just was doing everything I could to make this successful, and I had this great plan. And I picked them up at the airport a couple days later, and we hit the mountain, and first day, we load our packs, take pictures before we take off, and we plow through, we get up to 11,000 feet to our campsite, and it is beautiful. There's this lake, it's like an infinity pool that rolls over the side. And, we're up at 11,000 feet, and it's dark, and the mountains are so high around us. You can see every star in the sky. It is just beautiful. And our theme for this one, we kind of mixed a little Maya Angelou's hope for the best and plan for the worst, and Proverbs 19:21, where a man makes a plan in his heart, but God's way prevails. We mixed those up, and it became plan for the best, but expect even better, because we knew God was going to do something that beyond what our plan was. But in retrospect and honesty, I put way more into my plan than I did watching for him. And, so anyway, we're there that night, and everything has gone well. The reports of what it's like at the top of the mountain have just gotten easier. We have brought ice axes and everything, and it turned out they probably weren't even going to be necessary. We were just going to conquer this thing. It was going to be awesome. And we were setting up our tents in this beautiful area where this waterfall falls down, and then it goes around, and then there's this little hump, and people just go there. That's a destination, and it's beautiful. We're just so thankful and setting up the tents and getting ready to go to bed, and I start to get this headache, and it's like, I just lugged 40 pounds up 11,000 feet. That makes sense. And so we keep going, and everybody said, okay, let's get sleep. We're going to get up at 2 a.m., and we're going to be on the mountaintop at sunrise, and that's, it's the plan. And we assumed the sunrise. And so I lay down, and the headache gets worse and worse, and all of a sudden it's this piercing, awful thing. And the nausea follows. And because I was planning, I was aware of what altitude sickness was going to feel like, and I knew this was not a good deal. So I'm powering water and electrolytes and all these things that just don't catch it and don't work. And I know my only answer is to descend. And they're asleep and snoring, and I'm up walking around the camp, and seriously, God, really? This is all I wanted to do was get to the mountaintop. Reminded me of this book that we've read, The Tale of Three Trees. If you've read it, you know what I'm saying. But so I'm sitting there, and it's 11:30, it's 12:30, and I can't get to sleep, and I'm getting pretty frustrated, and we were waking up at 2 a.m., so I guess I'll just sit here when they wake up. And at that point, and it's a hard thing, and it's a big deal with salvation, I think, is So interesting that that was your deal today. At some point, I gave in and accepted my weakness and my brokenness in that moment, and that is so hard for me to do because I know on the other end it probably means I'm going to need help. And so I sat there, and then the alarms go off, and Caleb wakes up, my son, and I'm hollering through his tent, "How you feeling?" And "Feeling great, ready to do this, and how you doing?" And so I start to tell him, and he rolls out and looks at me. I must have looked a lot worse than I even felt. Didn't know that would even be possible, but he looked at me. He's like, "Oh, my gosh, Dad." And I think I was holding my knees and just trying to have conversation with him. And in the midst of the night, as I was accepting my weakness and my brokenness, I was also trying to come up with a plan where they could just go ahead and I would go down with someone else. I would wait for another group. And I ran through that with Caleb, and I said, "You know, go through it with Peter, and I'm just going to start packing my stuff." And you know, I sat down just to take a break for a minute. Yeah. You know, and he comes back around the side of my tent, and he's emotional. And he just, "You know, Dad, I've never seen you like this. I got to help you down this mountain. We're not going to the top, neither one of us. We're going with you, and we're going to see you down this mountain." And you know, it's probably a logical thing for some people that that's what he would do. I don't know, but I thought I'd given him some pretty good reasons to dump me and go, but. Like most of you don't know much about my personal story, but I've been unchosen a couple of times and in some painful ways that I still work with every day. So in that moment, to be chosen in that way, for me, was huge. And at the same time, one of my goals was to bless my son and to encourage him. And at the same time, I got to see him be strong in that weakness and God come through that and encourage him better than any prayer I was going to offer or any excitement we would have holding that Mount Whitney sign at the top. None of that stuff was going to be as strong as what I saw in his eyes as he got to be the strong one. And he's got a child on the way. He's trying to provide. He's got a wife with MS that he is battling for, and just for him to get to be that guy in that moment was way bigger than anything I had planned. It took me a while to realize that as he escorted me down with his friend. But it's how God does it. And it's in our weakness and in our brokenness that he is. That's when salvation comes. We do have to give up. We do have to be broken and understand that we can't do it ourselves. All my training, all the 368 steps times whatever, all my research, all that was nothing. What really mattered is God had a bigger plan. It was so much bigger and better, and I'm still digesting it and trying to get a hold of it. And then the conversations on the way down, after I started to catch up a little bit, and it took me about 3 days to actually feel better, but with his friend, and some things going on that I wasn't aware of. Thanks, Benjamin. Things going on that we were never had that conversation and those conversations with him and got to love him that way. And
yeah.
Benjamin's excited if nobody
he's tired of listening to his dad talk. That's what that is, man. My kids do that too.
Is he done yet?
That's but beautiful.
I don't know if any of that makes sense to anybody else, but that was it was a blessing that was way bigger than we planned, and I'll just watch my themes next time.
Oh, thank you for sharing all that, Chris. That's a beautiful picture. Beautiful mountaintop experience God had you on. And man, he loves us so much. Chosen, what a picture that is. And then to see that next generation of your son being able to stand and be who he's called to be, that's
just a big deal.
It's prettier than any mountain view you'll see. That's for sure. Well, speaking of training, the guy beside you has been slacking off all summer. Josh, what you been up to this summer, man?
This summer, I've been getting from 275 pounds up to 325 pounds. Is that what you mean?
Me too. This is great. Oh, different approach. Sorry. Yeah. You've had a lot going on this summer. Made a big transition with your gym. Going to be teaching some school stuff.
I mean, yeah, God's so kind of... Forced Barbell left from the facility I had there in Fishers. It's like 3 minutes down the road. Got connected with Mission Christian Academy, the school Andy teaches at. Got us connected and had some cool conversations. And there was all sorts of... what the words are, reserved or confused feelings for myself of where am I supposed to go? Is this what I'm supposed to do? But in results, God made it pretty stinking clear that I was supposed to be in that building over there. And then once I was established and conversations continued about, hey, what about a weights class? And what does that look like? They were like, that sounds pretty good to us. It sounds pretty good to me too. And so now I'm a teacher, which I think is hilarious, because if I reached out to some of my teachers, I was a student, yeah. I was a handful all the way through it, and I want to reach out to a couple particulars so they can be like, hey, guess what I am? A teacher. And I know half of them would wish me some harm in there, I'm sure. They're like, oh, I hope they get you. So I did some auditing, had some fun, but it was all... maybe just a little too much playfulness, but no, we're moved into the new facility, and it's been going really well, really well. God's moving there, because when you go from a 4,200 square foot facility with lots of cool stuff to a 1,000 square foot facility that is missing some of that stuff, right? Because you can't bring it all with you. And then you would think, like, well, I wonder, what are we going to lose? 50% of our clientele? Yeah, maybe. Well, I like my people, so maybe it'll only be about 20%. Cool. And then you move, and then no one leaves. That's pretty cool. Neat. Yeah. And by neat, I mean incredible, because there's no way. It's like everybody thought, it was like, oh, there's going to be people that are going to ditch out. It's like, no, they're going to stay, because God has blessed me. God has blessed me to do it the right way and be a little bit different, as I think we're all called to be, so people notice us. Yeah. So I think I was blessed that God's made me and helped me in these last few years. I've dived in my face and I'm a little bit different. And those people wanted to be around me still, so they came. That one makes my skin hot. Not as hot as when you were telling your story, though. Man, I was like, I don't want to start sobbing next to him while he's telling his story, distract everybody. I could imagine having Eli come back around that tent to me, my boy, and say something like that. I'd probably have blubbered so much and cried that I'd actually probably would have passed out in your current situation.
And they're not dragging you down the mountain. They're just rolling, dude. Yeah. They just shove and go, right?
Yeah, let's be clear. I wouldn't have made it past like 1,000 foot. I'm like, yeah, let's go get some ice cream. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah. I like it. So one of the things that I think is interesting and why it's fun to have this crew of all three of you and your diversity up here, one of the things that you guys really intentionally have been doing this summer is loving people. And trying to share Jesus, whether it's been super intentional and programmatic, or whether it's been accidental and unintentional even, but you guys all have been like spilling some Jesus into the people around you, which has been cool to see. I've been watching Josh for a number of years, and it's been fun this summer to watch. You finally got to transition away from all that crap music you were playing to some crappy Christian music you've been playing lately. Twice I was in there telling Jed, like, he's got to shut this off. This is terrible. And he's like, this is Christian, man. I was like, oh, man. Oh, well. Anyways. But something that you've been trying to do is share Jesus with the people in your gym. And I've walked in so many times when you're supposed to be working out and other people are supposed to be working out, but you're all just sitting around talking about life and big issue stuff. Why are you doing all that?
Well, you know, I'll certainly give some credit to Marty. Marty reached out to me and and jumped me into a team here at the church, the EMT. And he's challenged us to do some neat things that we all should be doing. I'd love to talk about that with you guys.
You got a mic.
And I'm sure he would too, but... And I think I will a little bit here, too, but I think in more detail, because those challenges specifically, right? You know, We're called to action. We are certainly called to action. And the realization that that individual that you said that might be sitting right there and to live, they just have to get out that door. And so in my mind, I was thinking, it was funny as you talked through that, I was like, I would just grab that person and I take them
through
the door.
Drag them through the door. Okay.
Now, that might be my asset in that situation. But if it was like, take them up the 11,000-foot mountain, we all know I'd pass out at 1,000. Yeah. Yeah. So the realization that it can't be forcefully done, that it has to be a willing, that free will, right? It has to be a choice they make. But my goodness, those seeds that we have to plant so they even have the chance to make it out that door or up the mountain or whatever scenario you'd like to paint here, we have to start the conversations to be able to give them a chance, right? And it's worth it because we are talking about eternity. Eternity. Where are they going to go? We are all eternal beings. We are going, our existence will not end. Where are you going to spend it? And so that heavy realization is like, I've known it for a couple of years now. There was no, for whatever reason, no call to action. And then moving into Mission Christian Academy, playing Christian music, doing Bible studies at my house, being invited to the EMT throughout this summer, all these things culminating is like, it's time for action. Why are you not talking to these people? And it's incredible how easy it is when the people you love, even if it's at your gym, you call them out and you tell them to come to your church, that they show up because it's really not that hard of a conversation. You establish these relationships, whether it's friends or family or whatever it is, coworkers, they know you. And they know you're a little bit different because you're Christian, you're doing it right. And so you have an advantage. You have a massive advantage because our God is potently powerful. Way more powerful than me dragging that person out the door. He is powerful enough to flip the mountain upside down and just put the point you want to get to right there at the bottom, which is my preferred way. But he could, right? And so we got to take action. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the words. And sometimes that feels like it doesn't give you the words, and then people end up showing up anyways, and you feel like you said something stupid or foolish, and all of a sudden they ask more questions, and you're like, yeah, yeah, I'd love to talk about that more. We should do that right now in the middle of this set. Matter of fact, put the barbell down. But
you don't think they're just making that up so they don't have to do any more reps, do you?
You know what? I'm going to have to think about that.
I'd have been like, we should talk about Jesus instead of sit-ups right now. That's good. Well, you know, what I love about it, Josh, is... And for everybody, all you guys, like, love compels us to action, right? Guilt doesn't compel us to action. And people see through guilt, right? When you're like, I'm telling you about Jesus because I have to, otherwise I'm in trouble, right? Well, that's nothing, right? That doesn't sell. Like, people are like, what are you trying to sell me, man? You're crazy, right? But when you love people and you care enough about them and you blend that with the reality of eternity, how can we not act? How can we say we love people or even care about people, and no eternal death hangs in the balance, and do nothing? That's not love. Jesus said his disciples would be known by their love. And so I would challenge all of us that if we're going to make sharing Jesus a duty or a responsibility, you're probably going to fall seriously short. But if we can ask the Lord to help us have a heart for the people that we engage and connect with. That's why people want to come to church with you or talk to you about Jesus, Josh, at your gym, because they know you love them and you care about them. And they can't figure out what's wrong with this guy. What's his agenda? Oh, he just loves me enough to tell me the truth. That's powerful stuff, you know? And as you get onto college campuses, when people realize that Evie cares about me, that's why she's telling me about Jesus. Boy, all of a sudden, I mean, I may not like you, I may not want to listen to you, I may not agree with you, but I can't deny that you've got some genuine authenticity just pouring out of real love for me that's compelling, you know? We're chosen. What a great word that is. I mean, and the people around you, God, he has chosen that all mankind, that everyone would come to know him. It's what scripture tells us, right? Where's that one at up there? I think it's like maybe John 3:16. Whoever, whosoever, we're all a whosoever, whoever would believe. And God has called us to action. I wanted you to hear from these really awesome people today who are eloquent speakers and far better joke tellers than me. Evie, that was pretty fantastic stuff. Do you have anything else you want to throw in there? Because I don't want to wrap up here without giving you a shot at this.
It's just a little bit, but it's
I thought
just,
you might want to.
There were so many conversations we would have, like, on the boardwalk of people who maybe had been involved in, like, Christianity or going to church or, like, certain things, and, like, their family are believers, but they're, like, they had really been deterred away from that because they were, like, judged by them or really pushed into it and just overall not loved. And so, like, it was really great that, like, we could be the ones to say, like, but we're supposed, like, above all, like, yes, sin is sin, and, like, sharing that with them, but also that, like, you're meant to be loved. Like, we're they're supposed to be loving you. And, like, just seeing them, like, become more comfortable in that and, like, realizing that. Like, there was one conversation where me and my partner at that point had, it was a long conversation, but we had gotten to the point where, like, they were willing to go to church and, like, I think my partner gave her like, church to watch on a live stream or something like that. And so it's just, like, so encouraging. But also, see, there's all this, like, misconception that we could be there to be, like, but you're loved. Like, you, like, we're strangers and we know that, but this is, like, what's there for you. And just really seeing that, like, I don't know, just see them, like, just see a weight off their shoulders, yeah. Like, realizing that that's how it should be, and seeing them, like, take steps towards God again.
Yeah. Yeah. When the church hates people, that doesn't help them feel like Jesus loves people, does it? Yeah. Hey, you should probably finale us with a cool story about that one dude who came back and talked about his experience. Remember that story?
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Brad, the one you told me last week.
So there was someone who was on staff, and so on Tuesday nights we had something called Date Night with Jesus. And so it was like after dinner we'd all like go find our own little areas to just sit and have quiet time and like read the Bible or do devotionals or whatever. And someone on staff was like on the docks and he was just sitting and reading his Bible, and someone comes up to him and is like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I'm reading my Bible." And I don't exactly know like the interaction that went down, but it ended up being that the person who had come up to him shared, like, they had found out that we were a part of crew, and he shared that he had been approached on the boardwalk, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but because he's an adult at this point, I think he was, like, a teenager then, and he was saying how he had been asked those same survey questions, and he was just a total jerk to them, and he made so many, like, rude, inappropriate comments and remarks, and but because of that survey, like, it was in the back of his mind. And so now he's a pastor. So it's all, like, it's all, like.
Now he has to do surveys.
Yeah.
But it's just. God's got a sense of humor.
That was really encouraging for, like, because he came back, that person on staff came back and shared that story with all of us. And it was, like, okay, so really, just because someone, like, reacts a certain way, we continue to show them love and that we care. You know, they can come full circle.
Yeah, it's not the end of the story.
Yeah.
Just some seeds, man. Sometimes you hit them in the head with the seeds. Sometimes it falls in the dirt. But keep throwing those seeds. Awesome stuff. Well, here's how we're going to end this morning. We're not going to do a big altar call where we challenge you to make a decision for eternity to follow Christ if you're not, and have you come to the altar and pray. Instead, I have three expert spokespeople who would love to talk to you if you have questions about what it means to start a relationship with Jesus. I'm not one of the three, just for the record, right? So if you have some questions, you want to know more, or even maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I've been doing church, or I sort of think about God stuff, but I'm not really sure if I have a relationship with him, or if it's a salvation thing, this chosen thing really applies to me. I would invite you to talk to these guys, because they didn't promise they would do that, but they'd love to, because they love you guys, right? You love these guys? Yeah. Not as much as you did a few minutes ago, but right now, seriously loving these guys, so... I actually have the shirt that Josh got me, which said what? What was I say?
Pastor, warning. Anything you say or do could be used against you in a sermon.
Should say will, right? It should say will, for sure. Well, Josh got me this when I put him on the spot once, so I thought I'm going to wear it when I put him on the spot twice. Perfect stuff. So we're going to pray, and I hope that you've been encouraged a little bit as we've talked a little bit just about three random adventurers this summer. And nothing about what they've done is crazy out of the ordinary. Just doing life, spending time, engaging, and trying to love well. And every one of them would tell you, please don't idolize me. I'm a very imperfect version of a follower of Jesus, right? All four of us would say that. But God has called us to shine the light and to impact the world around us with his love. And when we do that, man, eternity starts to look different. Would your shirt, Jamie, yesterday say, make heaven crowded? I like that theme, man. There's a good theme. Let's make heaven crowded. You know what I'm saying? All right. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you for the invitation to be in relationship with you. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins, the free gift of just love and adoption into your family. Lord, you see our brokenness. You see our failures. You know who we are. But you love us, and you call us into relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly to us this week in the relationships and the interactions that are before us. Help us to be encouraged and to see that you want us to spread the good news and share the gospel in love to the people around us. And Lord, for those who are still maybe chewing on all this, trying to figure it out, Lord, I pray that you'd give them some awesome conversations and clarity and understanding through the power of your Spirit, that they might come into an epic relationship with you and experience all the love and joy of being part of your family. Thank you for your love, and thank you for the time together this morning. I pray you would guide and direct us in the moments ahead here. In Jesus' name, amen.